just use me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I work for you. Is that your desire tonight? Let's sing it now. Oh, Jesus, use me. Is that your testimony, your desire tonight? Lord, use me, wherever you can use me, whatever you want me to do, help me to be willing to say yes. Well, isn't it good to be in camp meeting tonight? Are you glad to be back in camp meeting one more time? Praise the Lord. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. And we just actually had a great time here over the weekend, didn't we? Did you enjoy the weekend services? The word of the Lord was just so precious, and His presence among us, that's worth more than all the gold in Fort Knox, to have the presence of the Lord in our midst, isn't it? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand tonight, point at them, do something to them, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. What a privilege it is to be in church. Play a little bit more of that, guys. mighty say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a minute. Brother David Seiler made it back home from New Zealand. He's traveled more in the last 2 weeks than, well, he's a lot of miles. He's been a lot of miles. Been to New Zealand and down to Johannesburg, South Africa. So his body clock is still trying to catch up. Or we're trying to catch up with him. I don't know. Amen. Brother David, if you will, I want you to come and pray over the request and maybe take 2 or 3 minutes and just give us a little report about your trips, if you don't mind to do that. Would you like to hear that tonight? Amen. We'll do that just as, let's look at our prayer request tonight. First of all, we want to welcome to the service tonight Sister Joanne Tessa's daughter, JoJo, and Destiny. Where would these folks be right here? Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I understand Sister Joanne Tessa is recovering quite nicely. We want to continue to pray for her that the Lord would just bring her through that double knee surgery. I'm telling you, she's quite a woman to do that. Amen. I had one done at a time, but to have them, listen, not all the gold in California could have made me had them done at both at one time. I'm too big of a coward. But I do appreciate Sister Joanne. God bless her heart. She's precious to this congregation. Sister Laura Krause wants us to remember her brother David Goodnow in prayer. He is fighting kidney cancer, is not responding to chemo nor radiation. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Randy Scott sends us in. I would like to give a testimony. Over the past several weeks, I've been battling something that landed me in the emergency room twice. During Saturday's service that Brother Darrell was preaching, I started feeling much better. And Sunday morning when I got up, praise the Lord, he completely healed me. And I want to give all the praise and thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ for touching my body and making me well again. Thank you, all of you that stayed in touch, called, texted me during this time. Your thoughtfulness is greatly appreciated. Boo devil. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Linda Kennedy tonight, who is in the hospital in Indian Path over in Kingsport. She is in very much pain, needs a special touch from our Lord. Also pray for Brother Eugene, who is having problems with heart rhythm. So we want to remember that request tonight. Brother Burr, Sister Barbara Gravely, want to thank everyone for the calls, cards, most of all for the prayers for Brother Burt during the recovery from surgery. Please continue to pray for our Brother Burt. He is experiencing a lot of pain, so we certainly want to pray for our brother. Pray for Sister Lou Bean's mother, who is suspected to have liver cancer, also other problems with her kidneys. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. And then this prayer request tonight, still remember Sister Joanne Tessa recovering at home. Also, Sister Maria Sponsia having knee surgery tomorrow, so we want to remember that tonight. Brother Chuck Samisky sends us in to pray for Brian Blackburn, who has seizures and is in the Johnson City Medical Center, so we want to remember that tonight. Sister Martha Ann sends us in urgent prayer requests for my eldest brother, James Hayward. Rushed to the hospital, possible heart attack. They're also doing a lot of different tests on him, different complications in his body. He's making all these things not really agree with him, so they're just asking that we would pray that the Lord would be mindful of her brother tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, how many of you know God is greater than all of your problems? Do you believe that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight as Brother David comes. Let's give the Lord Jesus a nice hand clap of praise tonight, if you love him. Brother David, God bless you. I love you, buddy. I appreciate you.
Certainly greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our trips actually begin back in Czech Republic last month. That we was there in the mountains of the Czech Republic with some of the believers there that gathered from different places across Europe, and so we was having a couple of services a day, and the Spirit of the Lord just really moved among us, and we had a service. We had about, I'm going to say, 20, 25 that come and rededicated their life to the Lord, and just certainly so good to see the people that was rejoicing around the revealed word of the hour, knowing that God's still moving and still touching lives. And then about 3 weeks ago, we was in Johannesburg, South Africa, there with the Retiefs, and during that time that we're supposed to go, that The pastor actually lost his wife just a couple of days before I left, so we knew it was going to be some difficult meetings. I contacted the brother, asking him if he still would like to have the meeting or if you want to cancel. I perfectly understand. He said, no, I think we should go ahead and have the meetings. And so he said he felt like it'd be a blessing. And just the way the Lord moved in such a supernatural way that we was gathered in a hall there and having meetings. I think it was on Monday night or Tuesday night. I can't remember now. They're all kind of running together. But it's just the way the Lord come among us. I was outside my little chalet. I just come from dinner that evening and just I was looking up at the stars and asked the Lord just to direct me. And I kind of preached and studied a different direction, was going a direction for the meeting. And I went in and sat down and I opened up my iPad and there was a sermon that was open that I'd preached several years ago. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I wonder how this come open. And I began to kind of read through it. And I preached for him a little long now and I knew just to follow the direction of the Lord. And I'm so glad I did. Because it was definitely the mind of the Lord for the service. And we had to crawl over people to get out of the building. It's not that you even had to give them an invitation, but the Lord pulled. If God draws a man, God will do something for him. And we'd left the meeting, and the next morning, and I'd gotten there to breakfast where the brothers was, and they said that the people would worship close to midnight, just enjoying the presence of God. And David Siler can't bring that kind of an atmosphere, but I know a man that can. We left and went to, headed towards New Zealand. I was going through Sydney, Australia. Got into Sydney and was headed up to the next gate, and they told me I wasn't going to be able to board the plane. And I said, well, what seems to be the problem? They said, well, they're expecting a storm to hit New Zealand right at the airport where you're going to be landing, about the time you're going to be landing. And so you're not going to be able to take this flight in there. They was expecting a cyclone to hit. They said the worst storm in about 60 years. And so, well, we didn't want to tempt the Lord, so we hung out in Australia for that afternoon and that evening and that night and went back the next day. And sure enough, the plane still hadn't got there. And so I knew I had to get to the meeting, so we just got another ticket and went ahead and went. And when I arrived, the brother told me that the storm was headed right there for where we was going to have the convention. And he said that the people got down and began to pray and asked God to spare them of the storm. Hallelujah. I know what he was saying was right because when I'd went and talked to the people at the airport, they said the storm was headed right for Auckland. And they said at the last minute, the storm took a detour and it went completely around them. And it hit down in the South Island. Amen. Praise God. So we was able to have the meetings and they was calling for rain all weekend long. And I'd get up in the morning and the sun would be shining. The pastor would come pick me up. He said, Brother David, you see that blue sky? I said, yes, sir. He said, that's an answer to prayer. Amen. God, give us some beautiful days. Give us some unbelievable services. And the people kind of like here, they're pretty emotional. So they're my kind of folks. So if you ever turn me loose, I'll probably head down that way. They're worshipers. And I think God loves worshipers. And so they ain't ashamed of the gospel. And the Lord moved in a great way. And I'm overwhelmed at the presence of God and what he can do for us. If you're not a believer, just come follow us around a little while and you will be. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. God bless you. I want to thank you for praying. If you prayed for us while we're gone, and I know the Lord heard that prayer. And I know the Lord's comforted our hearts many a nights when we left our family and our children. I want to thank you for your prayers. You don't know what it means to us. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm beyond speech tonight to think of how blessed I am to be numbered amongst this assembly. Lord, to know that these people, they care about your word. Lord, they are dedicated to the things of God. And Lord, I'm the smallest one among them, but I'm just thankful to be accounted amongst the redeemed tonight. And Lord, as we've come into this place today, we are under expectation, Lord. And Father, last weekend was wonderful, but Lord, just as we eat each day naturally, we come once again this evening needing you to feed us spiritually. Lord, our cups has been emptied as it was, Lord, and we've poured everything that we have out before your people. And Lord, we're needing you to come by this place and refill our cups once again. And Lord, we just come and ask that you would just have liberty tonight. May you move among us, we pray. And Lord, you see the request that's been turned in, Lord. And Father, you know every situation, and I know that you're mindful of each one. And I pray tonight, Lord, that your hand would just move upon these needs, Lord, and that you would touch them tonight. And Lord, I ask God that where sickness is, Lord, that it would move back. For your prophet tells us, Lord, that when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, that you looked out of heaven with angry eyes and the Red Sea got scared and moved back. Lord, may you look down upon every sickness in every body. And Father, may the enemy get scared and may he move back from your children. We ask, Lord, that you would touch them. May the angel of the Lord, may it visit them tonight, Father. May deliverance come. May healing move upon their bodies. Lord, we bring them to you knowing, Lord, that the scripture said that whatever we ask in your name, it shall be given. We believe tonight. Ask you, Lord, anoint our brother. May you use him in a mighty way. I pray, God, speak to our hearts. Bless our gathering together in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen.
The Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming this service, I wonder, could we say this? God bless our streamers.
God bless our streamers.
Amen. Hope this service will be a blessing to those folks. Brother David was telling me earlier that some of those folks, different parts of the country, they'll get up at 2 o'clock in the morning just to stream these services. 2 o'clock in the morning just to stream these services. Hey, we're such a blessed congregation. The Lord has been so good to us. The Lord has been so wonderful to us. How many of you want to thank Him for what He's done for you? Amen. The youth got back from down in Louisiana. I'm sure Brother Wes will be telling us some things about that in a little while. And well, we're just glad you're here. We've come to have church, haven't we? Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little song tonight. We wore it out, but let's sing it again. He's in the house. I got a feeling we're going to have some church here tonight. Are you glad to be part of what God's doing? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart tonight. A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. When He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say,
Jesus touched this heart of mine. He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
Amen, Brother Bobby, if you get ready to sing for us tonight. Brother, see if you've got the song on the screen that Brother Brandon's been singing. I'm going home. I want Brother Brandon to sing that. If we have it, if we don't, we'll use it later. But see if you've got that on the screen. I'm going home. Let's sing this little chorus together as Brother Bobby gets ready tonight. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Church, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is.
Well, He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time.
Yes, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. I know He's an on-time God. Yes, He is.
Souls He fed.
Hallelujah.
On the banks of that river with two fish and five loaves of bread. What a miracle He performed for the multitude. Oh, what He did way back then, He'll do today for me and you, 'cause He's an
on-time God.
Yes, He is.
I know He's an on-time God. Yes, He is.
Yes, He is. Well, it may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time.
Church, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is.
Are you
going to
say that first, sir?
You can ask the children of Israel, trapped at the Red Sea, pulled by that mean old Pharaoh and his army. They had water all around them, Pharaoh on their tracks.
Oh,
from out of nowhere, God stepped in and cut a highway just like that.
On time. Oh, bless the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Bobby, give him a nice hand tonight as he gets ready to sing.
The song would be my testimony tonight.
I traveled along up on this lonesome way. My burdens were heavy and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he all of the time had been looking. Now it's Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my dearest friend, and so till the end, Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gate. I know that it's narrow. I know that it's straight. But Jesus is there. Through eternity, we'll travel along, just Jesus and me. Forever I'll sing all His great love for me. Forever I'll tell it on land and on. I'll stay by His side, contented I'll be for all of my life. It's Jesus and me. Now it's Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my dearest friend, and so till the end, it's Jesus and me. And so till the end, it's Jesus and me.
He wouldn't put a man on the spot.
It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. I really want to see.
God bless you, saints. I'm too tired to be nervous. Camp will tend to take the edge off of you a little bit as far as energy goes. I love the words of that song, brother. I believe that's who I'm looking at right now. I'm not saying that in hypocrisy. I mean it with all my heart. I'm looking into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ all over this building, different places. Different places all over I see it. If you will, open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 5. While you're turning there, I'll just tell you I was listening to Jezebel Religion today. I've got the scripture, I've got some quotes, got some things that the Lord put on my heart, but we don't know what's going to happen. It might make you a little nervous to know that when the preacher comes out here, he has no idea, does he, Brother David? Does he, Brother Terry? Brother Gene, you don't know, do you, what the Lord's going to do? It depends on you. Everything depends on you. Because just like when he broke the loaves and the fishes, I've said this before, he had enough to feed every single person there. So, Sister Sarah, if you want to eat tonight, there is plenty. You just have to reach your hand out and take it when the basket comes by. That's all there is to it. I believe that with all my heart. We're people of the Word. We live by faith, not by sight. We're in this together, and I really need you. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pull tonight. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, I tell you what, when you see yourself in each verse, this kind of makes you stammer just a little bit. It's an instant drunkenness right there when the Lord speaks right to you and he says, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Oh, Lord. I could preach on that all night. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation in assembly. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, my mouth cannot hold the words that describe the blessing it is to have your Spirit come down and set me aside and so that I can witness as you speak to your people, Lord. This night will be completely in vain if that does not happen, Lord. I yield myself to you. And I ask you, Lord, to please do just that and set me aside. Lord, we know that the time is short. We know that the hour is dark. We know that your people, Lord, are coming into focus and that the body is coming together and being unified. The real body is being unified just as the denominations in the great harlot are being unified, Lord. And the time is coming when, you know, the warning has gone out and now it's time for the judgment to come upon this world, Lord. And Lord, though it's going to be a dreadful thing for those who have not listened, who have not taken your counsel, Father, we know that it's going to be a glorious day and a wonderful time for those of us, the remnant, Lord, those few who you've given grace and mercy to, that we might have revelation and sight among all the blind, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this time where we can come together and worship you and bow down to you and adore you and honor you and listen to you and take counsel from you. And, oh, Lord, just to be in heavenly places with our Father is such a blessing, Lord. I thank you so much for it. And I just ask your blessing upon the word and upon the rest of the evening, Lord, that as we dedicate it to you, our greatest and truest love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Whew. You may be seated. God bless you. The testimony about how these young people behaved at camp is one that I'm extremely pleased to bring. You know, in the book of Revelation, I love the book of Revelation. The more I find out how bad the devil hates it, the more I love it. In Revelation 12, it says, in Revelation 12, verse 10, "And I heard the voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their own lives unto death." My goodness. We overcame. Speaking about us. We overcame by the word of our testimony. And the fact that we didn't love our own life. Not even unto death did we love our own life. You know, I experienced a lot this time at camp. Over the years, I've experienced many, many different things at youth camp. You know, and it's a roller coaster as far as how it's affecting the young people and whether or not they're gaining anything from it or not. And then you just go up and down and up and down and up and down. And you see so many blessings and you see so many heartaches. I've seen miracles like the ones we see at this church. When, you know, I know that a young person does not need a youth camp to have an experience with God. They can come right here to this church, any service, and if they'll focus in and they'll pull on the Lord, He will speak to them just like we discussed before we read the scripture tonight. There is no wall, Brother Ben, that you can't break down when it comes to the Lord to get to Him. He says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. That's a promise from our God. He's not slack concerning His promises. That's one thing I'm learning more and more all the time. I'm learning that He's not slack concerning His promises. This year at camp, it started out with a little bit of a hiccup. We were in the parking lot and the bus got stuck on the pavement trying to pull out. And the bus driver, I could tell, he was so frustrated. He was so stressed out. He had already given up to call the tow truck and luckily, you know, one of our brothers here at church, he went to him and started talking him through it. And because of his wisdom and because he was here for choir practice, the bus driver was able to maneuver off of that asphalt hump out there and get us back on the road again. And when some of us started telling him, you know, hey, maybe this happened for a reason. Maybe 20 minutes down the road, there was an accident waiting on us. He found such comfort in that. We had really great bus drivers this year. They were actually denominational believers, but they were very sincere, very kind. They supported us. They really complimented the young people. This year was one of the most amazing years behavior-wise there has ever been. The young people in this church are like a jewel in your crown, trust me. Trust me. They really, truly are. There was not any behavior problems. There was not any stress. There was not, you know, very little tiny minor things that you have to address from time to time just seem to be rare. There are just, you know, tiny little things. These young people went down to camp knowing that they were facing this long bus drive, knowing that they, you know, were going down there and there's not a lot of playtime. You know, you have a service in the morning, then you eat, then there's a few minutes before you go to the, between the two meals there, and then you have another service at night. And, you know, as soon as you get there the first day, you're worn out. You hadn't slept for 24 hours, and then you're up that whole day on top of that. And then you go to the first service, and the kids still throw their hearts into it. And they still worship with everything they've got. And it's just amazing to see them do it. When we started the Bible study for the youth here at the church, I really struggled. Because when the Lord showed me what He wanted me to do, I began to argue with Him. I'd had parents tell me before, they don't want to come and have service after service. They don't want to come and have Bible. You've got to give, these kids have got to have some fun or they're going to quit. They're not going to come. You're going to run them off. I was told that. And believe me, I repeated those words to the Lord. Okay, I'm only human. We want them to be happy, don't we? We want them to stay. We want them to come and sit down on these pews and be happy. We don't want to run them off. So my human fear kicked in. Lord, do you want me to have a Bible study? You want me to give them one more? Basically, it's another service, isn't it, young people? Basically, it's like another service. It's a little bit more informal, but pretty much, you know, that's what it is. It's a little interactive sometimes, but for the most part, it's another service every week or every other week. And you would think, you know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to be lucky. I said, I'm going to be really fortunate. I said, there'll be about 8 parents that just make their kids come, and those 8 probably won't want to be here. They're not going to want to do this. They get church 3 times a week. They're not want to, you know, this is on a school night. They've got homework. They've got other activities they're involved in. They've got, let's just face it, the things of the world. Relaxing time. They want to play their video games. They want to get together and do social things. They're not going to come together and study the Bible. And the Lord said, have a Bible study. Against my own human judgment, I obeyed Him. And I honestly thought it would be me and 3 or 4 kids back there and that it would be rough. But the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar and God's still in charge. And these young people, they come out and they're dedicated. When something goes wrong, I have a schedule conflict or I have to be out of town or something's going on and we can't have a Bible study, they get disappointed and they get upset and they start asking me to throw in another one, an extra one, or they start hassling me out there in the vestibule, wanting to know, well, when are we having it? Are we having, you know? And it's them beating down the door, looking for righteousness, seeking righteousness. It's them. It's them. Don't let the devil lie to you. The devil tells a lot of people that are in the message, well, you'll be lucky if your kids are saved. Maybe if you pray, the Lord will let them be saved. He'll let them be there. He'll let them be saved. Maybe if you really do your job right, maybe they'll be saved. But I mean, you know, it's a remnant, right? How many could be bride? Well, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something right now. I see kids that don't just cry out at the altar at camp. They don't just have a camp experience, but they seek God all the time. I get calls all the time with kids who are sold out to the Lord, who want to get closer, who want to know the Lord better. I get them all the time. So I want the whole body to be encouraged by this. I want you to know that as a body, we're supposed to all work together. You know, a lot of people want the young people to be involved in helping in the church and doing things. And they have specific ideas of what that should be. But, you know, sometimes maybe it should be the other way around. Who's really fighting the hardest battle? In this present age, who's fighting the hardest battle? Who's got the most coming against them? Who's got the most temptation coming against them? Brother Branham said in Israel in the homeland, let me say this to you, brother, God in his Bible never did have an organized church. That's doctrine. The Catholic Church says they're the mother church. They are the mother church. They are the mother of organizations. And Revelation 17 says the same thing. That's right. They are the first organized church, and these are just little daughters that's dropped off in it. Read Revelation 17. Okay, Brother Branham, we'll read Revelation 17. Let's go over here and read it. What are we talking about here tonight? We're about to get to the bottom of this. You just keep praying that the Lord will preach me. We'll get out of the lecture part here in a minute. Maybe he'll put some fire on this altar. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. When John looked at her, he wondered with great admiration at what he saw. It was beautiful. She was beautiful. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? In modern day language, what are you looking at? What is it you see? What is it that's making you... What do you think so great about this? What is it that... What's the attraction? What's attracting you to this harlot? Why do you look at her and marvel? How can you possibly look at her and marvel? I will tell thee a mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Now John's caught up in the vision. He's caught up in the vision. This is the one apostle that didn't leave Jesus' side for the crucifixion, didn't run and wasn't hidden in fear. And he had a heart of gold. This was a man of love. Great love. He truly loved the Lord with all of his heart. And when a person truly loves the Lord with all of their heart, they just can't get away from him. They just seek him and seek him and seek him, and they just cannot get away. Amen. Now, our young people today, this is something that's hard for us to grasp. It's hard for us to understand. But we are such oddballs now. There was a time when it wasn't so uncommon for women to have uncut hair and dresses on. Some of our older sisters remember that wasn't so uncommon. There was lots of churches, even the Baptist churches did that. The missionary Baptist churches, the women had long hair. They might have trimmed it, I don't know, but they had long hair and they wore dresses. Amen. There was lots of Pentecostal churches around. When I first came into the message, I went to Dollywood one time, and I didn't realize about how you know, I still wasn't completely, revelated when it came to all the denominations and all the divisions and everything there was. And I was walking through Dollywood, and here was these sisters with their husbands. They had long hair. They had the dresses on. And I'd look in, and I'd be like, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" And they'd look at me, and they would not say a word, and they'd walk off. They wouldn't even say hello. Brother David, they wouldn't even say hello to me. These are people that are supposed to be Christians. They wouldn't say hello to me, brother. I was like, what in the world? I thought, well, maybe they're shy. Maybe I'm being a little too forward, you know. So I quickly progressed down to just a little solemn nod, you know. Just, hello, brother. They still wouldn't say hello. I felt like grabbing one of them by the collar and saying, "I said hello, boy." Then I got to noticing every one of these guys had long sleeves on, and I didn't. I had mine rolled up to my elbow. I wasn't as holy as them. Their particular cloistered up little denomination did not allow them to be my brother. Did not allow them to even evidently say hello. Maybe they were from back in a, I don't know, maybe they were from back in a holler somewhere in West Virginia or something, and they were shy, you know, or whatever. So I tried again. Go up, sit down by one on the bench. I noticed your wife is wearing a dress, and she has long hair, and you all Christians? Yes. What kind of church do you go to? Such and such, such and such, such and such, and it would be a denominational church. And I go, oh, okay. And I just kind of let it go. I didn't want to poke too much because it was really hard to get them to even talk to me. Yet they were supposed to be Christians. That's not very attractive, is it? But look at what our kids are faced with. They go to school. They go to work in the public places. They meet a good Baptist kid who really understands the doctrine of justification, being saved. They understand grace, greasy grace. They understand all these things. They talk about how much fun they had on their mission trip. They talk about how they're feeding the poor and they're giving out blankets. They talk about how they're doing this and they're doing that. And they're sitting there and they're like, wait a minute. That sounds more like Christianity than what I've got. It really does. I mean, wasn't it James that said, true religion is this? You know, and you sit there and you're like, oh boy, how do I compete with that? We're getting together and talking about the seven church ages. And, you know, it's like eating dry toast and washing it down with peanut butter. Sometimes it's what it feels like. That's how you feel. You feel like that's what you're bringing them. You feel like that's what you're bringing them. And they keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And you're like, Lord, I don't understand why they're coming back. Because you catch yourself marveling at the great whore. You're like, look at the competition, Lord. Look at the competition. Look at what we've got to fight against here. And then you realize there must be something going on. There must be seed there. There must be a hunger for the truth. There must be those who really believe among our young people.
Amen.
Who haven't been fooled. Who've been brought up right. Who've been taught right.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, if you go back to Proverbs for just a second, we realize this sounds like an instruction to a young man not to be a fornicator, and it is. But then when you move it up a level, and you're the son or the children mentioned in this, then you realize God's warning you on many different levels throughout the Bible about what you're looking at. You know, he says in here, first he calls us his son, his children. He says in here, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. You know, he Brother Branham described what was underneath California, headquarters for the devil. He told us that it was all honeycombed under there. It was going to go into the ocean. And we know that we're at the culmination of all things. We know that it's coming down right now. We're people of the Word, and we believe the truth for this hour. We truly are the believers that are here tonight, and the people under the sound of my voice who truly believe the Word and who love the Word, not the religion, are truly, truly the remnant that are going to see the rapture. We're part of the body of Christ that's alive on the earth today. Brother, it really did my heart. I got so excited when I heard you talking back there after I got over the fact that you were here and you should probably be the one standing up here. I got after that punch in the stomach, you know, it was almost as bad as Brother Donnie being out here that night when he had me preach. But we're the remnant. We're the believers. We're the ones that really believe the truth. And Satan knows how to wrap stuff in sugar. Oh my goodness, he knows how to wrap it in sugar. A strange woman, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. See, a honeycomb won't hold up. That's no foundation. The words are sweet. Oh, they're so enticing. They're so enticing. Oh my goodness. Play kumbaya, sit around the campfire. You know, go listen to a tape under a tree by some still waters. It's so nice. It sounds so good. It sounds so good. But then I think, wait a minute. Down there at camp this year, I ran into some brothers that Brother John Sacker had been working with years ago. And they were dead in the water. They were, for themselves, being fed. They listened to the Brother Branham's tapes. They were listening to the message of the hour. They were listening to the tapes of Brother Branham. They'd been introduced to the message. And they were pretty much sitting still in one spot until they got the current ministry sermons that started pushing them a little further, that ignited the fires and got them moving. And they weren't just looking at yesterday, but they were looking at where God is today. And that was the difference that it took. That was the difference that it took to get things moving. And I was there, and here's all these brothers who used to live over here and over there and over there. We're all together in one body. We're all discussing how the Lord worked through them and worked through their lives to bring them together, to get the gospel moving and get it moving throughout, you know, all of Asia. The very last place that it's going to go through, Asia. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, there's a living word. And we need it. And we need it. We need it very badly. Brother Bram said in What Shall We Do With Jesus? Oh my goodness. What is it? Protestant harlots and with the old mother Rome, the whore. Revelation 17 said she was the mother of harlots. Exactly. Protestant denominations. Holding out in her hand the cup of the wrath of God for her toast, her testimony. This is what we believe. In each one, this is what we believe. Here's what the church is to believe. The Word of God. And let every man's word be a lie. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to believe. Not what they tell us to believe. Not a creed. You know what my creed is? I've got a creed. You know what it is? The Word of God. That's it. I don't know if I've ever got through a sermon without saying, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I don't know if I've ever got through a sermon without bringing that up in one way or another, because that's who we are. We are the Word. We're the Word manifested right now in this dark age. We are the Word manifested. You know, the Catholic spirit, that denominational spirit is so beautiful. You got to think, John, the Apostle John, looked at that thing and marveled and said, it's so beautiful. The hospitals, feeding the poor, all of this stuff that they do, it looks so good. The beautiful churches, the spiral towers, the stained glass, the formal robes, There was a man at work. He went to a Pentecostal church. His daughter started going to a Lutheran church and really loved it because of the ceremony and the tradition. And the incense and the robes and all that stuff. And I was just like, "You're kidding me." And he said, "No, at least she's in church." And I said, No, she's not." And he couldn't understand why I was so upset. I said, "Brother, she's on a path straight to hell. She don't get it. She don't get it. She don't see it. Her eyes are blinded." I said, "You got to get her back to the Word." I said, "That's all garbage." I said, "The stuff she's doing is not even in the Word."
Come on.
I said, "It's just the traditions of man." I said, "Come on, wake up. Come on, please, wake up. Please." You know, it says, and say, "How have I hated instruction?" This is the conclusion of that. This is the realization that comes. This is what comes. You see, I'm so proud of the young people because they don't think like this. The majority of them don't think like this at all. They're not going to face this when it comes upon them in the end. And they're not going to say, "How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." This is the conclusion of it. This is where those people will find themselves. They despise the Word of God. They want tradition. They want ease. You know, our human side, our flesh side, looks at them and goes, "Man, you know, we fear for them all the time. We're so fearful. Oh man, they're going to, oh gosh, this is, I wish Brother Donnie would do this, and I wish Brother Donnie would do that, and I wish Brother West would do this, and I wish Brother West would do that, and I wish Brother Siler would do this, and oh, maybe we could get him to do the youth. He would be better probably." But, but you know, people think like that because they're afraid. I want you to have faith in these young people. I want you to have faith in the body of Christ. I want us to be one body. You know, I want the older people in the church walking up and encouraging the younger people. I know a lot of you do it. I'm not fussing. I'm not correcting you. I know a lot of you do it. But they need it. They need it so badly. They need it so badly to hang on to the Word, to not look at it as a shame. You know the problem that they have a lot of times when they're sectioned off and they're alone and they're in a workplace somewhere surrounded by a bunch of good Baptist kids or good Methodist kids? They're ashamed. That's what they start to feel. They start to feel ashamed. They'll fight real good for a while, and then after a while they start to dread the fight. And then after a little while longer, they start to dread it more. And then they go to camp and they get this great big experience and they're all happy. And then on the bus ride home, before they even make it home, they're going, "How can I keep this?" And the devil starts speaking to him. And he says, "You made a big statement down there at camp when you gave your testimony. But you know when you get home, you're not going to throw out those video games. You know you're not going to quit watching that filth. You know you'll do it for a few days, but then you'll go right back to doing it. You know it's all a bunch of baloney. You know you don't really believe that." And they start to wonder. And they start to get afraid. And that's when they need us the most. They get down there and they get real emotional because it's a foretaste of heaven. We gather, they're all gathered together. It has a snowball effect. The first sermon kind of gets, you know, the joints loosened up, gets things moving a little bit. They crack their neck a couple of times, shake the sleep out of their eyes. Second service gets a little bit better. Third service, they start to give in to the Spirit. Fourth service, they're getting excited. Fifth service, they finally say amen for the first time. Yeah. You ought to see them. They're afraid to do it in front of you all. You know that? They're afraid to do it in front of you all like they do at camp. Because you know what happens when you get back from camp? You come back and you're tired and you're trying to unpack your stuff and you leave something outside and forget it. And start to get, you know, your little sister's there, and she comes up and she aggravates you a little bit, and you're kind of groggy and you haven't slept. You know, you've got over a time period where you usually have 60 hours sleep, you get more like 20, and you're a little crotchety and you're a little grouchy, and you come home and you snap at somebody just a little bit, and they go, "Oh, that camp did you a lot of good, didn't it?" "No, I see that ain't worth the money, is it? Shame on you." Shame on you. We're all human. And what is it? It's like a punch in the gut. It's like you're amening the devil. We don't want to do that, do we? And then they doubt it themselves. And the emotion isn't there. And then it's like putting a fire extinguisher on your amens, isn't it? If I amen too loud and then I mess up at home, make a mistake, get in the flesh for a minute, I'm going to pay for it. "Well, you were amening all the water to church." That's no way to correct somebody.
Come on now.
That is not how you do it. That's how the devil does you. That's what he does. That's what the accuser does. That's why the denominations are dead. That's why they're full of filth. That's why they're so disgusting. When you find out what's going on under the underbelly of them. The church I grew up in, girls and boys slept under the pews during the lock-in for the teen meetings. They played AC/DC and the Beatles in the basement while the youth minister sat down there and talked about the most abominable doctrines you've ever heard in your life. I have took a little bit of persecution over some of the things I've said in these services because I told the truth and people didn't like it. I've been called a liar when I was not lying. People who were mentors and brothers to me most of my life have looked me in the eye and said, "You're a liar," when I told the truth.
Come on now.
That spirit hates us. It hates us because we stand on the Word. You know, the rich young ruler, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" But he didn't want to. He wanted to be saved, but he didn't want a Lord. That's the sin of the denominations. They don't want to go to hell. They want something that will guarantee them not to go to hell, but they do not want a Lord. They do not love the Lord. They want to escape, but they do not want headship. It's why they reject the Word. That's why the slightest little thing in the Word, and they say, "Oh, you've not got enough grace. You're not. You're a legalist."
Come on, amen.
There was one man, one preacher on the scene, one prophet on the scene in this age, one who told the truth, and he's under attack more than any other. Nobody attacks Billy Graham.
No.
You know why? Because he's still marveling at the great whore.
Come on. Come on, brother. Amen.
Brother Branham raised a standard and stood against it. He stood against it. He played the part that God sent him here for. And everything under everybody, everything that crawls out from underneath a rock in God's green earth is attacking the man. Trying to punch holes in what he said, and they cannot do it. I come into this message investigating him, trying to expose him as a cult leader, a liar, and a false prophet. That is what I intended to do. Brother Darren Littleton was in a cult as far as I was concerned. I thought, he is crazy. He's lost his mind. His family's going to go to hell if he don't get out of that. I'm going to find out what the deal is with this guy. And I started to study him. I went through all the garbage, all the claims that they have regurgitated and puked out over the last couple of years to try to draw people away. And I dug through all that garbage and found out lie after lie after lie after lie. And it's garbage, and it's coming against our young people, trying to make them ashamed of their prophet. Trying to make them ashamed of it. Trying to make them ashamed of Brother Branham, like he's some false prophet. He brought the truth. He stood for the Word of God. He was unashamedly the only man of God on the scene that would do the whole thing and not apologize for it. The only one. And you should be proud of that. That's the one kind of pride you're allowed. Is pride in our God, pride in His Word, and be proud that you're people who follow a prophet that followed the Word and the truth and brought us back to the faith of the fathers. Let me tell you something. That old whore and her daughters chased us across the ocean. They chased us across the ocean. They killed our brothers and sisters. They killed them. And when they found out that they couldn't burn us enough, they couldn't stake us enough, they couldn't tear us limb for limb enough, they couldn't feed us to the hogs and stop us, then they tried to seduce us. Because that's what a whore does. When I saw what was going on, when God gave me a revelation, filled my heart with truth and showed me the lies of that whore and her daughters. It was like I was truly born again. Because I saw who the enemy was. He was unmasked. And I want him to be unmasked before these young people. I want them to know that there are people who stand against God. They stand against God while carrying the name of God. You know, a whore is notorious for taking the part that they want, taking the bedroom part, but not taking the name. That's what they do. They call themselves Christians and they take the name of God in vain. They will not be, the scripture says they will not be held guiltless. They will not. This judgment right here is coming down upon them. And we've got young people who are standing for the truth. I am so proud to be your brother. I am so proud to be your brother. This word is vindicated. It's vindicated. Some of you have seen it yourself. You have seen demons cast out. You've witnessed it. I've cried and prayed with you afterwards because it was kind of scary. But I ain't scared no more. I ain't scared no more. They tell us we're superstitious because we say sickness is a demon. It's the life of the devil trying to grow, trying to take shape in your body and kill your body and drown out your voice so that you can't speak the truth to your own children. They think we're crazy. So glad that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that you've taken a vow to walk in holiness and that you're proud to do it and that you're doing it unashamed. I am so proud that you get in the spirit and leap and scream. I'm so proud that you shout amen, that you stand for the truth and that you fight. I'm so proud that when you come back and the camp experience seems to be waning and falling away, you don't think that that means you didn't get anything. You're like the farmer who plants a seed. You don't go the next day and dig it up to see if it's growing. You just believe it and keep watering it. You come to the next service, and you come to the one after that, and you come to the one after that, and you believe, and you pray, and you keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on, and you don't give up. And after a while, something has sprung up in your life. And after a while, fruit starts to appear from that seed that you allowed to stay down in this earth and grow. That you didn't give up. You didn't dig it up. You didn't throw it out with the trash. You hung on to it and you believed. I'm telling you. I'm telling you what. I'm telling you right now, Brother David, you know I'm telling you the truth. This bride is coming into focus. It's coming into focus. You know, I was up in New Albany at Brother Nathan's church preaching. There's only a couple I go to. I told Brother Donnie that I didn't really want to go out and preach much because I want to focus on these young people. They're the ones that God called me to, and I don't go out much. But Brother Nathan is a dear friend of mine, and he's been such a support to me. And he asked me to come up, preach a couple of services, and do some youth services. He knows the bait to lay in front of me. Because my heart is for these young people. So I went up there, and the strangest thing happened during the service. It was coming to the end of the service, and a choice came before me. The devil put a carrot in front of my face, Brother David. You'll have to be a witness to tell me. You'll have to be a witness to let these people know that this kind of thing happens. He showed me how to get that altar full. He showed me what to say the devil did to make me look good. And I had a choice whether to do it or to say just what God said and drop it right there and cut it off. By the grace of God, I was able to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And there was one young man at the altar, but the testimonies afterward were great. They were overwhelming. But he does it, doesn't he? The devil does it. He wants you to give in. That mouth like honey. You know, it's the smooth like oil, but it's not oil. It's not oil, but it's smooth like oil. Sweet words. Sweet words is not ugly and rough like the real gospel. You know, Jesus was not a good-looking guy. He was not a blue-eyed supermodel with long, curly, blonde locks. He wasn't. I'm sorry, but he wasn't. He was not attractive. That is not how he got us. You know what got me? Was his love. His love. You see, a whore marries somebody for what they can get. They're the ones that went after the Arm and Hammer boy. They're the ones that went after him. It's the ones that wanted to marry him because of what they could get. But the one girl that loved him for his character was the one he came back for. The one who wanted to take his name and not his money. That's the one, that's who we're waiting on. I mean, I feel like we're just kind of killing time tonight. Waiting on him. He's coming. He's coming. We're going to go with him. Oh my goodness gracious love. Okay, let me go just a little further in Scripture here. Down towards the end of 17 there in verse 18, the angel, after he's explained all these things, that he comes to the woman again. He says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." It's a political power. It's political power. It's all about control and manipulation and numbers and money and organization. It's all about that. It's not about godliness and order. It's about control and manipulation. When I went to Japan, the reason that Brother Sacker told me that we had to say we're visiting friends if they wanted to know why we come there. And I said, well, why can't we tell them we're missionaries? Japan's not really persecuting anybody, are they? And he said, oh, well, he said, when you say you're a missionary, they hear Catholic. And they know that Catholics come in, work people into the government, and take over. He said, they're a government. He said, they see them as being enemy operatives, a governmental enemy operative. And I was like, wow, never thought of it, but that's exactly what they are. That's what they try to do. That's what they try to do. They come in, you know, and they try to tell you, you need to quit feeling bad when you do something wrong. Jesus died for your sins. He died for the sins of the world. And you are rejecting His grace when you feel bad. All your sins, past, present, and future, are under the blood of Christ. And you do not have to be legalistic. God doesn't care if you cut your hair or not. God doesn't care what kind of music you listen to. God doesn't care if you have premarital sex. God doesn't care if you're gay. God doesn't care because it's all under the blood. The sins of the world is under the blood. lips as smooth as oil. That's so easy, isn't it? That's so easy. That is such a wide path. Okay. So you're driven. You're driven, and you really want to do something for the Lord because you appreciate Him. Well, you know, we've got all kinds of programs for you to sink your teeth into that'll keep you busy and keep you occupied until time slips away and you find a grave void of salvation. There was a young boy at camp, a young man at camp, who had the two souls doctrine coming in. You see, we're not only being attacked from without, we're being attacked from within. He had the two souls doctrine coming in. This young man is so dedicated to the Lord, and he's fighting a religious spirit all the time. It's trying to take hold of him. And he's sort of segregated from, you know, he's not got a lot of fellowship. That's one of the things that makes that camp so important. It gets young people who maybe are the only young person in their whole church. They can come down, fellowship with some other young people, kind of be around some other ones. But this young man has built a database of the Word and quotes and scriptures to stand against false doctrine. It was so amazing that I told him, I said, I need your contact information. I might be getting a hold of you for some, you know, resources for preaching. I said, pretty good. I mean, he was telling me how they would go about it and how they would take a quote, and you'd read the quote and it would seem to prove exactly what they said until you went back and looked at the sermon and they left the first line of the quote out, which killed the whole thing. You see, they take these puzzle pieces, and if it don't fit quite right, they take a hammer and hammer it into place. A revelation, let's read what a revelation is. This is Webster, and this is pretty good, I thought. An act of revealing or communicating divine truth, something that is revealed by God to humans. An act of revealing to view or making known. An enlightening or astonishing disclosure, shocking revelations. A pleasant, often enlightening surprise. See, there's one thing I've noticed about revelation. When it comes, it brings joy, not confusion. The author of confusion is Satan. You don't have to scratch your head and wonder. When revelation hits you, it's like getting hit by a bus. You know it. And it brings great joy with it and great understanding, not confusion. These people who peddle these false doctrines and they're trying to separate us, they're trying to divide us, they're trying to destroy the body. Because what do they want? They want the same thing the whore wants. They want control. They want power. They want popularity. They want money. They want whatever, but they are not seeking to unify the real body of Christ under the Word and the headship of the Lord. They're trying to put it under their own particular headship. Real revelation, you're so calm and you're so peaceful, you don't want to argue. You don't want to argue about it. Somebody who doesn't have that revelation yet, you feel sorry for them and you pray for them and you know that God has to give it to them. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to put books and books and books of stuff together and try to shove it down their throat sideways. You know, it just comes. Lord, when you're a child of God, God loves you and you love Him and He's filling you. He gives you these revelations as gifts, and you don't feel worthy. You know, we're just like the Shulamite. We don't feel worthy, but when they come, we're so filled with joy and so filled with gladness. There's no confusion in that. You know, it doesn't bring confusion in argument. The culmination of everything is at hand right now. It's all coming together. You know, revelation is kind of like a puzzle. I'll say like a puzzle. They take a piece and they put it in the sideways and start trying to hammer it in. It doesn't work. You ever seen a kid do that when you're trying to put a puzzle together with them and they're like, I want to put this piece right here. And you're like, it doesn't go there. Maybe if I turn it upside down. Yeah, it's upside down all right. You know, it still won't fit. And they're convinced, I just want to make it fit right there. And you're like, look, if we just put it right over here where it goes and flip it up the right way, then it fits in. And it works. You know, it's easy. It makes sense. It comes together. A puzzle doesn't go together with force. It just goes right into place. You know, there's a very faint line, a very, very just such a fine line between revelation and conclusion. What the whore will do is she'll lead you to a conclusion and convince you, or try to convince you, it's a revelation. I've seen preachers do this before, false preachers. They'll set you up. They'll read this scripture, and they'll put it together with this scripture, and they'll put it together with this scripture, and they'll take half of this scripture and part of this quote and part of that quote, and they'll start leading you around. You know, hey, who's going to know? What's it going to hurt? Come on in. Come on in. Here, lay down. Get comfortable. This isn't hurting anything. You're okay. Let me stroke your forehead, Samson. Let me just stroke your forehead for a little while. You'll be okay. Just rest. Just rest. Words as smooth as oil. Then they come in and they get you. The devils take over. Lead you to a conclusion. It'll be okay. Justify it. Just justify it. Step by step. Say this, say that until I can lead you down this primrose path to destruction. Feels like revelation, but it's not. It's a conclusion you come to on your own using your brain. It has nothing to do with God or the Holy Ghost at all. A whore gives herself for gain. A bride only gives herself for love. God's, you know, the grace that the Lord Jesus Christ showed me when He led me to repentance. Repentance is not saying, okay, I don't want to go to hell, so I'll ask for forgiveness. Check that off. Okay, I accept Christ. Check that off. Get baptized. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Check that off. Okay, I'm saved. I'm good. Got the okay from the church. Don't have nothing to worry about. Just have them give them some money once in a while. Be a good citizen. We're good. Grace covers everything else. But when I saw myself in the light of God's holiness, and He brought me in the altar of my heart to real repentance, where I saw just how vile my life was, when He reached down into that pit and pulled me out, it made me love Him. It made me love Him with all my heart. It made me want to be a better man. You know, when you meet that one, Brother Rob, when you met Sister Sarah, she made you want to be a better man, didn't she?
Yes.
Sister Sarah, didn't you want, for that man right there, wouldn't you want to be a good wife? He's worth it, isn't he? Of course he is. That's how it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes me want to be better. I don't want to work my way towards Him. I want to be better for Him. That's not legalism. That's love. That's love. That's what it is. It's love. It's respect. It's the right way. It's what we need. It's what we really need. A whore just wants what she can get. She don't care. She just wants to satisfy her lusts. When you understand what He did, the sacrifice He made, what He gave up to be spit on, you don't get saved because you feel sorry for Him. You realize He didn't have to do it. And the devil says, oh, you just come back from camp and you've not held the line, you've not towed the line for even one day. You've already messed up. You've already messed up. And God says, listen, I love you. Dust yourself off. I still love you. Don't listen to him. Dust yourself off. Ask me to forgive you, and I'll throw it right in the sea of forgetfulness. You're not going to get all the way to the finish line in one step. That ain't much of a race, is it? But as long as you never quit, as long as you never give up, as long as you never turn tail and run, as long as you don't take your hand off the plow, we'll get her done. We'll get her done. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here if the musicians would like to come. True love is two becoming one. Two becoming one. It's Christ in us.
Amen.
That's the hope of glory. Christ in us. That's His grace and His love making you ready. Not the demands and the controls of a religious hierarchy. Not smooth words. He prepares us. He gets us ready. He makes us what He wants us to be, because this is a love affair.
That's right.
It's a love affair.
And
the devil always tries to tell us. He's always trying to push us out underneath the umbrella of that Catholic spirit, to where we want to pay our indulgences because we just don't feel worthy. In the light of His love, we just don't feel worthy. And that's where the bride gets into trouble, because she doesn't feel worthy. She has trouble believing that He has made her worthy. And it hurts us so bad. Because in the light of His glory, we just cannot feel it. Just like the Shulamite, just like what Brother Donnie's been preaching. We can't feel worthy. And we look at that. But that's not why. That's not what it's about. I love Him because He made me worthy. Because He's worthy. I look at my life when I come up short and I go, what's greater than His blood? What's stronger than His? Brother Brad, what's stronger than the blood of Christ? What's stronger than the blood of Christ? When the accuser comes, that's our protection. We're going to overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And our testimony is, He's faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is worthy of all praise. When I come up short, He never does. He never does. Never. Never. Never comes up short. I'm going to go ahead and close. It's Wednesday night, and you know, I was listening, like I said, I was listening to Jezebel Religion today. And Brother Brown was crying out so hard. He was crying out so hard. He was shouting out God's word with everything that was in him. He was pouring himself out just as hard as he could, because he saw the coming judgment that we are going to be spared from. You know, we're not the chosen frozen. We're not writing off the world. It doesn't make us happy that they're dying lost in their sins, that they're blind and they can't see. It doesn't make us happy. We look at them and we love them. And we don't want them to be lost. There's a woman that works at Chick-fil-A that's spreading false lies about us. She told my mother that We pray to Brother Branham. My mom asked me, with all sincerity, she said, Wesley, do you pray to Brother Branham? And I said, Lord, no, Mom. I said, that's Catholicism. I said, that's the very thing we stand against. I said, where did you hear that? And she heard it from a woman who works with children who come to this church. She's heard the truth from them and turned it into a lie and is spreading a lie. She knows that's not true. Do you think I'm angry at her? No. I see her one day saying these words that were in this scripture and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. These young people, they incline their ear. They listen when I give them instruction. When Brother Donnie gives them instruction, one of these other ministers gives them instruction, they listen. I mean, I have trouble believing it. I go in there every Monday that we have Bible study. I go in there and they don't come till the last minute. You know, they're just typical church people in that regard. And the devil tells me every time, they're done with you. They're not coming back. They don't want to hear this. And then they all pile in. And then when it's over, they don't leave. And my wife fusses at me because I don't get home till 10:30 or 11 o'clock because we're standing out here in the parking lot talking. And we're not talking about ball games. We're talking about the Lord. You all should really be encouraged. You should really be encouraged by what you've produced, what families centered with love have produced.
Praise the Lord.
What this message produces.
Yes, sir.
Show me what the critics have produced, Brother Terry. What have they got? What have they produced? No life. They're not producing. They're just like Satan. They produce nothing but hell. And damnation. Sorrow and loss and judgment. That's all they produce. We go a hard and narrow path that's uphill. Young people, it's not easy. But I tell you what, it's way easier than what's waiting at the end of the road for those folks. One day you're going to shout your guts out on the streets of glory, and you're not even going to take a breath for 1,000 years because you stood for the truth. And you believe the word for this hour. That's the ones that are going. The ones that believe the word for this hour and don't fall for the sweet, weak honeycomb of the great whore. I mean, it's just so sad. Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. Our God doesn't move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we look at His Word, we don't apologize for it because it's never going to change. When heaven and earth passes away, it's still going to stand. And guess what? If you're standing on it, you're going to stand too.
Amen.
Folks, I want to tell you, I want to confess to you a little something. I hate the way I preach. I absolutely hate it. Brother, I cry. I literally cry because I just don't feel like I can let God through as much as I want to. I want to split wide open and let the Holy Ghost run through here like a freight train. I do. It's a desire of my heart. It's a desire of my heart, Brother David. I look at you men and you're my heroes. I look at people like Brother Donnie. I look at you all. You're my heroes, Brother Terry. Brother Gene, you know, all you preachers, you other preachers in here, I look at you and you're like heroes to me because you preach with such clarity and you do so much to help me. And I love you. Oh, my God, I love you. I love you. I love Brother Donnie. I love you all. I love you so much I don't know what to do with myself.
Amen.
That was the theme of camp this week was they will know we are Christians by our love one for another. A little sister started to sing that on the bus, and I just about fell apart because I thought that's it. That's what it is. We love our God, we love His Word, we love each other. That's real love. Not sweet, oily, slippery words from some old prostitute. No. We've got the truth. We've got holiness. Oh God, I want my standard to be higher. Not because I'm legalistic, but because I love Him so much. That's why we are what we are. That's why we believe what we believe. Because He's worthy. I want holiness because I want to be holy like He's holy. I want the power that only the Holy Ghost can give me to reach those goals, to be higher, to grow in Christ, to produce fruit. I know that's what we all want. We're in agreement in that, aren't we, brother? Aren't we all in agreement with that? That's what this is about. That's what this is about. This isn't about controlling you or your money or anything else. This is what it's about, is us getting home. We're almost home. We're almost there. We're going home. I mean, we really are. Let them call me what they want. I don't care no more. I don't care. I really don't know. I don't care no more. They can call me crazy and call me whatever they want. I just don't care no more. God, I love you all. I need to hush. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love you so much. I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters, like precious faith. Lord God, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? I can't walk together with no old whore. I can't do it. You shook me loose from underneath that mess, Lord. You showed me the truth. You pulled me out. That's grace. That's what grace is. It delivers you. Oh, Lord, it don't just cover up for something, you know, evil and let you keep on going in your ways, but it pulls you out from underneath evil. Takes you out of the shadows and into the light where you can be cleansed and made spotless by the blood of Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, you're so worthy. Oh, Lord God, I worship you. I wish I had the words to say, Father, for how much I love you. I just want to praise your name forever. Oh, God, if you could just come quickly, Lord, please. Please come quickly. Just make it a quick work. You said, actually, I believe it. You said it's going to be a quick work. You said no flesh would be saved if it wasn't. So, Lord, we're believing that. We see the whole world coming apart at the seams right now, Lord, and it brings terror to most people, but to us it's glory. Because we know that your prophet was right. He was true. He stood on the truth. He preached the truth, and we believe the truth. And, Lord, we know that the time is coming, and we're all going to be together in heaven. We're coming to that wedding feast, Lord, and we're just going to rejoice. We're just going to rejoice forevermore, Lord. And the devil's going to be shut up once and for all. Oh, God, I can't wait. I love you, Father. Thank you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, we believe. I want you to know right now, this ain't no oily, slippery words from some whore. This altar is a place that this world rejects. I don't mean just coming to it. A lot of churches, they come up to the altar and pray every service, and you know they get a big dose of greasy grace and go on home feeling good about themselves. And that's not what I'm talking about. But this is a place right up here where you can come, and there are signs and miracles that follow the true word of God. They follow the preaching of the word. It comes right after it. If you've got a need in your life, if you're sick, if you've got a need, if you're looking for victory, if you just want to come and thank the Lord, if you stand up here, the preacher will pray for you. If you're bowed down there, you're just praying and saying thank you to the Lord. But this is an altar where so many in this world reject it. Many times I find the Lord saying through me, you've come to this altar when so many turn away. He's speaking to the remnant. Speaking to you, his children. You come to this altar when so many reject it, scorn it. You're not in the seat of the scornful. You're not. You're believers.
Amen.
I know for a fact the Lord vindicates his word. I know for a fact today, I heard his prophet saying, if you can keep it in your heart and believe it. He would talk about a sickness coming. He said you'd go and you'd get prayed for and you'd start to feel better. And he said then when something is dead, it starts to swell up. But if you keep believing, and you hold on to that faith and you keep believing and you hang on, it'll manifest itself. Amen. That healing will manifest itself. That's not a fairy tale. That's the truth. There are preachers here. There are men of God who stand for the Word of God that are up here that will come and pray if you have a need. There are testimonies that are a result of the truth being preached. There are testimonies of the truth. And it is real.
Right. Yeah.
If you have a need, I'm not afraid to say, come up here. I don't care if we pray all night. I don't care. Because I've been called to be your servant. These men have been called to be your servant. Brother, I know you're tired, but I bet you $1,000 you wouldn't leave, would you, if there was one that needed you to pray for him? Don't go out that door. Don't go out that door tonight with something that you need to leave. Brother Tim tells a story about a young girl that got baptized at camp, that repented and accepted the Lord and got baptized at camp. And he got word from her mother a few weeks after camp that she had died in a car wreck and that she would have died lost without the Lord Jesus had that not happened. Abel went out the door of the church with everything right. Cain went out the door and took his anger with him and went to hell. Brought judgment down upon himself. Whether it be sickness, whether it be sin, whether it be a complex, whether it be anything, it's all from Satan. Every bit of that comes from the devil, and you do not have to leave here with it if you don't want to. This altar's open. Go ahead, brother. Start singing. If anybody has a need for prayer, come on up.
I have decided to follow Jesus. follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turn. This world behind me, cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me. I want turn back, I won't turn back. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole.
myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself myself, I give myself to you. My life is not my own. Lord, to you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. Myself, I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself.
Seated if you want, just keep in prayer, please. Help us, Lord, to worship you.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, you're altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're mine. my eyes, let me see. Humbly, adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly came to the earth you created, all full of sick, became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
To see my sins upon that cross, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. But here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy. You're altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. You're altogether wonderful to me. Here I am.
What a mighty God Jesus is.
is. What mighty God Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God is. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore God, my
Awesome.
While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. Well, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. While I was praising His name, somebody touched me. Oh, while I was praising His name, somebody touched me. While I was praising His name, somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. Well, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. Down at the altar, somebody touched me. Down at the altar, somebody touched me. Oh, down at the altar, somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. While I was praising, somebody touched me. While I was praising, somebody touched me. While I was praising, somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Jesus touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. Somebody. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, this little light of mine,
Light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This big Holy Ghost light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This big Holy Ghost light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Oh, let it shine. Well, this big Holy Ghost light of mine, He told me to let it shine. Oh, this big Holy Ghost light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, this big Holy Ghost light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
You've seen miracles here tonight. You know what the biggest miracle is? That in this world that's so full of unbelief, there's people who come to this altar tonight in faith, believing for their healing, for other people's healing, for their salvation, for the Holy Ghost. My brother just received the Holy Ghost. He just took it. He just received it in faith and believing. You think our God's not great? You think our God's not great? There is no God like our God. There is no God but our God. Our faith's about to end in sight. You know that? Our faith is about to end in sight. We're going to see His coming. We're going to see the sky roll back like a scroll. We're the people of the Word. We're flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. There is none like us, because there is none like Him. Don't let some old black-hearted raven steal the truth out of you. Plant that seed of faith that He gave you tonight deep in your heart. Plant it down deep, put a big rock on top of it, and let it grow. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, honey. Thank you, Lord. Brother David, would you come up and dismiss us in prayer before I blow up? I can't hardly take more of this.
I don't know what you heard tonight, but I heard conviction. I heard integrity. I heard a man willing to yield himself. God can use a man like that. Don't you appreciate the word of the Lord? Amen. He told how great our young people was, but I appreciate Brother Bess for what he does for the young people. Amen. God bless you. Let's just bow our hearts now as we're going to leave this place, but this presence we feel. Let's just take it with us. Lord, you're a mighty God, and you've moved through this place tonight. Lord, you come and walked the aisles and spoke to the hearts of your children. Lord, we've been fed by your word. We thank you, Lord, for the time to come to the table once again. Lord, we thank you for every life, Lord, that has been touched by your presence tonight. Lord, for we know it is you. We claim it with them tonight, Lord. There's been some stakes been drove into the ground. Lord, we have stood against the enemy. And by faith, we believe, Lord, that when they walk from this building, they have exactly what they asked for. For that's what you told us to do, is to believe, to ask, and you shall receive. Go with your children, I pray, Lord, till we come again together. Lord, may this presence that we feel, Lord, may we not leave it here. May it not just be a church presence, but Lord, may it emanate from every being. May it emanate from every heart. Lord, the zeal that we've heard come across the desk tonight, Father, may it rub off on every one of us, Lord, that we would be so thankful for what you've done for us. The gratitude within us, Lord, it humbles us. Thank you for your word tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Believe his word tonight. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. I said there's power. Oh, hallelujah. A Jesus. Oh yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's a bride and she's rising up. There's a bride and she's rising up. Chain, break every chain. Yes, sir.